Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Glory, glory, glory. How many are good this morning?
Oh, yeah. Fire.
I am good this morning. Men, you got some cool men in this church.
Oh, yeah.
We had a great couple days. Man, every man that went up this weekend, we had such a marvelous time with them. And God touched hearts. God challenged us. And it was a good time. It was a good time. So next year, men, we're giving you 12 months notice. We want to see you next year. And so we want y'all to be a part. Before I truly get started, this is Rebirth Weekend. Okay. This is what I'm personally calling for me, my family. This is Rebirth Weekend. It's been 3 years since I've done this and preach on a Sunday morning. I was used to doing it for 13 years, but for 3 years I hadn't done it. So God is God, and He works His will in His way, and He got me back up to do this. So my wife and I are restarting a new ministry in our lives. We're in a new place for God to do a new thing in us. And so so this is an exciting weekend. So I'm going to brag for a second. I've got the best wife in the world. I've got to brag. Brother John, you said it. For someone to stay with you for 48 years, there's got to be something amazing about that person. Well, for my wife to be with me for 26 years and to deal with all this, I'm telling you, God does do miracles. So if you're a young man, I'm going to say it just like Pastor John. If you're a young man, look at this. You know, God can give you a good woman. Amen. Bible does say, if you find a good wife, you find what? A good thing. And I've got a good thing. So I'm going to introduce my lovely for 26 years. That's Cheryl Lopez. She's raised her hand. And her and I have done ministry together. We got married, and a week later, we were doing ministry. So all we've known and all we knew for 23 years was ministry. And then these last years, we've learned a lot more about each other. And now we're back to getting back to what we know, ministry. God's given us, and with her, you know, who was it up at this weekend that talked about the seed? Pastor Cesar. Brother Cesar said something about the seed, about grandchildren, and that grandchildren are a blessing, especially when they're in church. Well, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and both my parents were very very active in their churches growing up. So all my wife and I knew was church. And so my mother-in-law is celebrating this weekend with us. So she's with my wife over there. That's Laura Mestis. And so I thank her for birthing my wife. Without you, Mom, I would not have my wife. So I thank you for that. And then we've got two blessings that I'm so very proud of. My son came 12 hours on Thursday to hang out with us this weekend, to be with me, to watch me preach again. And so he's Josiah. He's right there in the middle. And then my daughter, JD, of 16 years, is there. So this is a family ordeal. It's a rebirth for the Lopez family. And you're going to see it. We believe God's going to do some great things. Man, where to start? My mind is going crazy. Pastor, over the last, we've been here about 7 weeks now, 8 weeks, pretty regularly now, my wife and I. And one thing we've loved, other than just knowing Pastor Henry and Rosie as people, and when we were youth pastors, they were youth pastors, and we knew each other way back when in the 90s. That's a little while ago for some of y'all. But other than them, just as people, now knowing them as pastors, we love their hearts. We love how Pastor is constantly speaking vision, constantly reminding you of what God's placed in his heart. I think that's very important for us. It is very important for us to know how God is directing us as a church. And Pastor has talked about us being a hub. They will send, meaning God will send people our way, but they may not stay here. They might go somewhere else, but they'll be here for a season to be restored, to be built up, to learn, to grow, to have impartation placed upon them. We don't know why they'll come, but for some reason, God will send them here for their purpose. We will find that out, and then God will use us, this house, to send them back forth to do the work of the ministry. So that is a wonderful vision of it. But then, so I call that we're the hub. And then the second part of it is we're the well. I'm going to take hold of that, sir. I'm just going to keep saying that because I kind of like that. That rings in my heart. We're the well, because out of your belly shall flow what?
Rivers
of living water. Well, it is Pastor's vision that out of this church and into this city and into the community, the city, and I have to say Tucson because that's where I live, even up in Tucson and surrounding areas, that out of this church, living water will flow to touch people's hearts and lives. So that Pastor has spoken that. And every time he says that, my wife and I, we just love it. We love hearing of what God's going to do. So honestly, being a pastor for so many years, we sit in this corner, okay? And I was joking with the men. How many are kind of sitting in your same place week after week? Hello, we get comfortable in our normal places. So I'm going to get you know you not just by who you are, but by where you sit. Okay, over the next few years and over the time being, we're going to get to know you as you sit. Okay, but what's funny is as we sat on this side I would just watch and I would just watch you all worship. I'd watch how you all responded, how you greeted each other and just was watching you all. And I'm telling you, I watched and I was like, you know what, God, there is so much good in this house, in your people, that good things can truly happen.
Preach it. Let's do it.
Seriously. Seniors, I love you all.
Yep.
I love seeing seniors in church. Those are the pillars who have not just known God for a long time. They've experienced a different part of God, a different seasons of God than we ever have. So their faith in God is a whole lot different than us young people. You know what I mean?
Much more established. Amen, bro.
Established. It's a good word. So I love seeing seniors, and I love you seniors watching you. And you come in and you're with this new, hey, seniors, let's be real. It's not Amazing Grace, is it? It's not Amazing Grace. How many of us love those songs, seniors? How many could go back and love those hymns? Hey, I'm one of those. My son's been laughing at me because I'm still singing. I'm still listening to the 1990s worship. He's asking me to catch up to you all young people. But I'm slowly getting there. But I love the old stuff and I love those old songs and those old hymns and some of those things that just touch my heart. And seniors, you bring depth. You bring life. Believe it. You still bring life. You bring life. When we see you worshiping excited, we have no reason but to get excited with you. Hello?
Right.
Us young people, let's be real. We kind of have this gap in between generations, and us young people don't hang out with a lot of seniors, so we don't understand what y'all hold. We don't know what y'all have been through. What keeps you come to church? What keeps you believing in God? But when we watch you and you exemplify it through your worship, through your love for us young ones, I haven't hit 50 yet, so I'm still calling myself young. When we watch you exemplify that and show it with a smile, brother came up. I saw brother right here come up to us and he welcomed me with a smile. And then he went to the brother over there who plays the guitar and just thanked him for what he does on the guitar. That excites you. There's a connection there. Now, us 50, 40, and 30s, our younger ones, you know, our mid-age people, going through our fun life of how are we going to get our kids out of the house. That's where I'm at. I got one in San Antonio. I'm trying to get one out of my house. She's going to be a little harder. She wants to stay in Tucson. That means she's too close. But, you know, my wife and I are getting to this empty place, and we're getting ready to enjoy it. You know, in our 40s and 50s, you know, bodies begin to change. One of the guys, who's the guy that does the training at LA Fitness? Oh, yeah. That was up this weekend. He wore the cowboy hat. Daniel? Yeah, Daniel's cool.
Yeah, he is.
Daniel told me, he's all talking to me about being a weight trainer. And he's talking about, yeah, when you're focused and you're dedicated, you know, and you want to see that change and just all this positive. He says, you're not, and he kind of stuttered, you're not lazy. And I'm like, oh, you're calling me lazy now because I'm not working out yet.
You told me the same thing.
I'm telling you, we're lazy. But Daniel being 24, 20, he's what, in his 20s, Brendan, I'm telling you, boy, you got to keep going.
We love Brendan.
I am telling you, sir. I am telling you. I see more. Can I just speak a little to you? I see more than just you leading worship. I see a songwriter in you. I see someone that can write the song and can bring out something new and fresh just by watching your heart in worship. Keep going, sir.
Yeah.
Seriously, keep going. We need the young ones. We need our 40-year-olds that have experienced life, but still we're getting into having grandbabies and we're understanding life a whole lot more. And so when we see our 20-year-olds and our younger ones through stuff, we're bearing it with them, aren't we? Hello? But can I tell you something about us middle-aged people? Most of society right now is looking at this middle age group. Because unfortunately, the younger generation, we're looking at them as the ones who don't want to work. They're the lazier, this Generation X, they're getting a bad vibe on them for so many different reasons. They're on their electronics. They don't want to go out and play anymore. They quit a lot earlier. I work in a school, so I hear all this stuff. But it's our generation that needs to start building up this young generation.
Right. Amen.
We need to be get a connection to help this younger generation to be what they need to be. And that's amazing, not just in society and in life, but in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So it's important to understand why you all are here. Amen.
Amen.
You ready to go? And that was just my intro. Say, Jesus, help us. Pastor Eli is talking again.
Don't stop now.
Oh, I won't, sir. Isaiah chapter 43. I called this sermon Showtime, and I specifically put show as S period, H period, O period, double period, because when we think of time, that means something's about to happen. The show's about to begin. But today I believe prophetically, today I believe pastorally, today I believe as a person that is becoming a member of this church. Hello. Y'all are going to have to get used to us. That it's just not showtime. A normal show is not about to happen. But it's time for Sawarita House of Worship to begin to rise up and become what God wants you to become.
Yeah.
And God wants us to become. I have believed it since I walked in these doors. Just watching you all. It's time. Can I be a little firm right now? For a church to last, isn't because you just show up and sit in a chair. No church lasts just because people walk in, sit down, stand up for worship, sit down for the announcements, stand up for more worship, sit down for the offering, stand up for something else, sit down, listen to the word, get up and respond to the word, and then walk out. No church will last just because people will walk in and do that. Can I even be more honest? No church will last just because you give or don't give your tithes and offerings. Oh, it's needed, but it doesn't make it last. Because I've known of churches that have a great bank account that have closed. I know of churches that had no money and it closed. I know churches have big bank accounts that are doing great things. I know churches that have little money and have done great things. So then what can make the church last?
Service?
We'll get there, sir. Don't try to get ahead of me. Isaiah chapter 43. Forget the former things. And I said this last week. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Oh, after yesterday's drive to that campground, I understand how God, how you make a way just to get to a pretty piece of property in the middle of nowhere. That was quite a ride. I'm so glad Pastor Henry said, do not take your Camry up there. It probably won't make it. He's right. My car would have been on the side of the road halfway going. See, when God is about ready to do a new thing, the first thing you have to do is you have to recognize it. See, my question to you today, church, is do you really sense, do you really feel in your heart, in your being, that God wants to do something great here at Sawarita House of Worship?
Yeah.
Yeah. You believe that?
Yeah.
See, it helps when you have a pastor that's constantly reminding you, right? But you know what? He can say it over and over and over again, but if it doesn't hit, if you don't see it, if you don't sense it, to some people, those are just mere words. But to those of us that believe it, it's water. It's that pathway being prepared. It's more moving of the dirt and the ground and the rocks and everything out of the way so we can continue to walk this path, believing God's going to do something great. Second part of it is, and there's we streams in the wasteland. We all know about needing water in the desert. But how many of you are refreshed every time you show up to church here? How many of you, when you come, and it could be on a Wednesday night, it could be on a Sunday morning, it could be with a group of men up in the mountains, it could be at the women's breakfast or the men's breakfast or all the other youth group on Wednesday nights. Come on, youth, you need to show up. But we'll stop there for a minute. I'll get y'all later. But whenever you show up, do you feel refreshed? We all need refreshing. So you have to understand, you have to perceive it, you have to believe it. So let's go back in day. How did the church begin? Acts chapter 2. If you all want to go there, it'll be on the screen for you. I call that the Bible in the sky. If you didn't bring your Bible, we got it for you up there. That's the Bible in the sky. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We all know that in the book of Acts, that's when the Spirit of God hit 12 men. The 12 men began to speak in other tongues. They spoke as the Spirit led them. There was an infilling, an indwelling, meaning that the Holy Spirit just wasn't this thing in the clouds, but the Holy Spirit actively indwelled in them and brought out something that was heavenly, a spiritual language, a speaking in tongues. And normally, and hear me, when we speak in tongues, it's for two reasons. There could be many more, but I'm going to specify two of them today. Number one reason, our heavenly language is speaking in tongues is what connects us to heaven. So you can pray in tongues and it can be between you and God. And you could just prophetically or spiritually be speaking in tongues, and between you and heaven, you're having a nice little conversation. And God's working in you. And you're speaking out your heavenly language just between you and God. That's your building up. That's for you. But then there's the speaking in tongues that is said out loud so that other people can get an interpretation. So someone can interpret it so that it can be a building up. Key word. Hallelujah. It's a building up of the people. So the 12 men that were in the upper room, they spoke in other tongues. And a bunch of people from other nations recognized their own language. And recognize there's something new going on up there. There's a new thing happening. They're speaking in a language that's mine, and they're not supposed to be able to know my language. If you're new here, I pray this church is able to speak your language so that you feel connected with us. Get it?
Yeah.
Daniel? Daniel? Michelle? I've seen them on Wednesday nights. I just really met them right now. You know, they've been married for 2 weeks.
Right on.
They just got married. Check that out. Not only did they just get married, they've known each other since school days. Was it junior high or high school? Junior high. Well, that's a short amount of time just because they have to look young, right? They look so young. But they've known each other since junior high. They just got married 2 weeks, and they have 5 kids. Hold on here. Hold on here. Yes, it's exciting that they're here. It's exciting they're choosing to have their life and their marriage and their family in church. That is totally exciting. But you know what's scary? They've got to find a church that speaks their language. They've got to find a group of people that don't just understand being newlyweds, but understands having this many kids. Hello?
Hello.
Kind of makes you look at church differently, doesn't it? See, when you don't know each other's story, How can you talk their language? Forgive me, Terry. I'm probably going to pitch everything I gave you. When you walk, and when we walked into this church, I know church. I've grown up in church. But I walked, my wife and I walked in 8 weeks ago with a totally different perspective. I'm going to be real with you. We walked in coming out of a major hurt, almost losing our marriage, walking away from the ministry, and wondering if we would ever get back into enjoying a life doing ministry as much as going to church. Oh, we learned what it's like to show up to church and walk out right away. We tried one church. We walked in, worshiped, enjoyed great sermons, enjoyed their worship, walked out. Never connected. See, when people walk into a church, they're walking in because they want to connect. They're going in like, is this the place that can speak my language? That understands me? That will help us out, that will be there for us, that we can feel kinship, friendship with. I saw a sister walk in. Is that your? Yeah. Saw a son, saw her son push her in. Knowing what I was going to preach today, my question was, do we have what she needs? Can we speak her language? Because it's important for what you're going through right now. You want a church. You want a people that will understand how you feel and what you're going through. We can't carry your burden, but we can stand next to you and walk with you through your burden.
Amen.
She wants to feel the presence of God where she goes. Oh, we'll get to that. Trust me, we'll get to that. I love the story of when Jesus was walking around. I told you I was going to pitch my verses. When Jesus was walking around and he went to Peter and he called out to Peter and he stepped into Peter's boat. And he said, Peter, cast off. And it was just Jesus and Peter in Peter's boat. Can I tell you something? Jesus, at that very moment, got into Peter's house. He got into his living. He got to his lifestyle. He got into where he found peace, where he found rest, where he lived, where he stored his money, where he did everything. Jesus stepped into Peter's boat because Jesus wanted to get to know Peter. See, it's important, church, that we just don't walk into church, get what we want, and walk out. My wife in my line. Over ministry for years, everything you are, everything you've gone through is for somebody else. What you've experienced in life, in church, in God, in presence, everything you are. Hey, I'm a Bronco fan. How many can join me in that one? Amen. Come on, Raider fans, join me. I don't care if you beat us this year. Still join me. Oh. Lord God, you said you can do the impossible. Bless our Cowboy fans. I love, my wife and I, we're foodies. We love restaurants. We love new food. My wife can cook. And just so you know, you're getting to hear me once, or this time, wait till you get to hear my wife. You all like me, but you'll love her. She can speak. She's anointed. She's bad. We've grown up in church our whole lives. We know church. We love God. Personalized, we pour into our kids. Everything's, a lot of our life is about our kids. I coach basketball at Pueblo, the Warriors. I coach basketball at my middle school where I work. I coach basketball for a club team, so we're around sports. We are a ministry family and we're a basketball family right now. That's what we contain of, that's how we live our lives. Those are, other than our normal life of working and living, and our life is basketball and Jesus. We say hello, basketball and ministry. You know, when I pastored, the person whose phone rang had to buy everybody pizza. $5 pizza's coming from brother over here. Just kidding, bro. Tacos, if you like tacos. Just a joke. But that's who we are. See, I'm letting you get into my boat and into our boat, because I hope after our service today, you'll come up and talk to us. Because let's just be honest, not many of us get the opportunity to stand up here and say, hey, here, this is what I am. You all don't get this chance to say who you are. So you have to do this. Hi, I'm Eli. Hi. How you doing, sir? Your name again?
Gary.
Gary, this is Gary. How many know Gary?
Yeah.
How many need to know Gary? Everybody else, raise your hand. See, we got to get into each other's boat. Jesus did it, so why don't we? Jesus went to know his disciples. Why don't we? I liked my group back here. I saw y'all earlier. I walked behind y'all. I was like, this can be a cool group here. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi,
I'm Kaylin.
Kaylin.
Jesse.
Jason.
Jesse.
Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Hi, shy girl. What's your name? Genevieve. Mm-hmm. Hi, Miss Genevieve. Mm-hmm. And I love the hairstyle, sir.
Charlie.
How you doing, Charlie? See, Charlie and I connect. If you're bald, come and talk to me. Come and talk to Charlie. We got you. We're in your group. Church, people just connect. People just be able to know someone can speak their language. And if you speak their language, then they're a little bit more open to say, hey, this is who I am. Then when you get to the spiritual side of it, then you start to pray with each other. Then you start to worship with each other. Then you begin to bear one another's burdens, and you're now beginning to fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
But see, it doesn't just happen spiritually. We walk in the natural. We walk in the flesh. We do. Even though you pray before you come to church, me, I was coming down I-10 because I was supposed to be here a little earlier than I expected, and I'm going to school. And I'm just joking with my pastor right now. And I had to be here a little quicker than I wanted to be, and so I put on my worship music. I put it up to volume number 50. That means it was loud. My windows were open. I was singing as hard as I can, but I was going a little fast. So I said, God, just forgive me. Don't let any highway patrol be on this highway. But I was going fast. I was worshiping because I had to get ready for today. But you know what? I still am Eli Anthony Lopez, not just pastor, speaker, minister, loves Jesus and follows Jesus, but I'm Eli Anthony Lopez in the natural. We're still normal people trying to live for Jesus together. So you're going to have a lot more moments. I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to have a lot more moments learning each other in the natural than you will spiritual. Unless we were the book of Acts. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 42, I think it is, sir. That first one. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Was this once a week or was this daily? Daily. I was used to going to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I was a pastor. I had to be there. When I wasn't pastoring, I understood why it was so easy just to show up on Sundays. I realized how easy it was to skip out on Wednesdays. I realized how easy it was to sleep in and skip out on a Sunday sometimes. Remember, we're still normal people. Doesn't mean you don't want to be in church. And honestly, as a pastor, that was good for me to see and to experience, because I was telling the man up at the thing, man, when we're pastors, we know your cars. And we scan the building in the sanctuary. And when we don't see your seat filled, we're like, so-and-so's missing. Wonder why. And as a pastor, that used to kind of bug me. People were missing church because I couldn't miss church. So if I couldn't miss church, why should y'all be able to miss church? But when I got to the other side and began to understand, let's not go to church this week. Well, we couldn't go to church this weekend because my daughter had a club basketball game up in Phoenix that we have to miss because my daughter was playing. We're a basketball family. I'm so thankful my basketball season's coming up. I won't have to miss Saturdays, Sundays anymore because we don't play on the weekends. We're still natural people. But see, here in the book of Acts, when the church started, everything was done daily. So let me ask you this question. And I'm not speaking for pastors, so please X this out of that. This does not come from pastor. But honestly, could you show up every day of the week to hang out together? Would you take the time to be at church and hanging out in this place every day of the week? Let's be honest.
4 days.
4 days a week. Some of us twice a week. Some of us, I'll try it, but probably doze off. Hello. But look it. So every day they devoted to the teaching, the breaking of bread, and a prayer. Wow. They prayed together every day. It's awesome. This is how the church started. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Okay. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Hello. Didn't I just talk about that? They spoke each other's language. They had things in common. This says they had everything in common. They sold property. Oh, okay. Here's my joke slash hard word about giving your tithe. You don't have to go off of the Old Testament tithe if you don't want to, of giving your 10%. I'm fine with that. Then live the book of Acts giving. Sell all your possessions and property and give it to the church so people aren't in need. You can live one or the other. I'll stick to giving my tithe. Hello? They sold property and possessions to give to anybody who was in need. Your giving doesn't just pay for the bills. My wife had surgery and we got roses saying we love you from the church. It's to build people up. It's to reach out. It's to provide church for men who go to a men's retreat. So your money is so that we can reach out to the people. That's why it's important you give your tithe, your offering, or live the book of Acts giving. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. They hung out together. They broke bread in their homes. So now they just didn't meet here. Your house had to be clean every day so somebody could come over. That's the rule in my house. How many have that rule at your house? House isn't clean, no one comes over. Ladies, you should applaud that. Your house would have to be clean every day for people to come over. But you probably would. Husbands, that means you got to help clean. Hello? Now women applaud me? So they were in each other's homes. They ate together. I'll join you for that. Come on, I'll try all y'all's food. Seriously. Just give me a call. It'll just be my wife and I, because I'll leave my daughter at home. She doesn't need it. She don't need it. I'll bring her McDonald's. Her spicy chicken and a tea. That's all she needs. Praising God and enjoying. They were praising God together, worshiping. They were enjoying the favor of all the people. Ready? How long y'all been coming here? 3 months. They got married. Hey, honey, we got married again 2 weeks ago. We're enjoying the favor of their marriage. Get it? When they rejoice, we should be rejoicing with them. Hello? So when you hear somebody getting married, you should be like, man, I can remember 26 years ago. By the way, I did it wrong. I asked my wife when she wasn't dressed nice to marry me. Wasn't smart. Put it there. Man, we got more together. Yes, he's just like me. They enjoyed each other's favor. So when someone celebrates, we all celebrate. Hello? And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So my question, and I asked Terry at the end of service, if you see all my verses, we're missing a whole lot of good verses, but this is gonna take me to a good space to bring an ending. I believe God's spoken. I believe he started a stirring. I believe we're seeing something different. But I want you to really begin to understand now, if the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, how did they manage loving on every new person that came in? How would we be if there was a line of people out the door trying to get in? If you don't perceive it, you can't see it. Do you really believe it could happen? I see it. What would we do, honestly, if there was another 70 people outside trying to get in? We would greet them and let them in. How many of us would be willing to give us our nice, comfortable seats? How many of us would be like, oh man, you got kids? We already got our youth leaders back there that are working so hard by themselves. With 20 of them, I'm going to go help them to fulfill the rest, to help them with the rest of them. So come on, bring all of them with me. Oh, you got a little baby? Come on. I'll take that little baby from you. And we have a beautiful nursery where they'll be loved on. Oh, there's five of them in there with only one person? Oh, I think I'm going to hang out in there and help with the little babies. You know that people have to be activated quickly for the daily growth? That's why I started off saying a church will not grow just by you coming in and sitting. You want to know what church grows? Is when we don't come ready to sit, we come ready to serve.
Right on.
When we come ready to give of ourselves, because you all know my boat, you all know where I've been and how I live, you all know what I like and what I don't like, you all understand me as a person, so then I can use who I am to help this church grow.
Amen. Come on.
Church ministry is not just worship, preaching of the word, children's church, nursery, youth group, men's group, women's group, Dale Ministries. What else major ones are there? Missionettes, Royal Rangers, if they have that still. I'm still a little old school AG. Forgive me on that. Baptism, you know, baptisms, Bible studies, Sunday schools. That's just not church. You want to know what church is? Oh, your car's broke down. I'm a mechanic. I'll help you fix it.
Right. Amen.
Oh, you need your house painted? I'm a painter. Give me a call. I'll come and paint your house for you. Oh, you're moving? We got a group of guys that we got strong backs. We'll be the movers for you. We'll come and help you move. Hello? Oh, you want to get married? I'll organize it for you. We'll make it look the best for you. We'll do it at my church because I know my pastor's a cool pastor. And I'll let you use the facility, but I'll organize the whole thing for you. You just get married. Oh, I'll be happy to marry you, sir. I'd be happy to stand there saying, that'd be kind of cool, bro. Oh, here's a fun one. You ready? You want to know how my church grew from 70 to almost over 200? This is when my wife and I were youth pastors. You want to know how we grew? We had a softball team. And we invited everybody to come out to play softball. And we played other churches, we played other teams in the city. And we had so many people come out to play softball and have fun that they started inviting their friends and their families. And once they got them to the baseball field, guess where they went next? To the church. Because we connected with them in the baseball field, not in the sanctuary. So we knew them out there, so they were comfortable in here. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Some people won't step into church because they're comfortable out there and they're not comfortable in here. But what's bad with the church is we're more comfortable in here than we are out there. So how can anybody ever get connected with the lost if you're not connected? If you're not comfortable. I drive Uber. Just think about that. You can let your imagination go. There's a good chance I've heard it or experienced it. Not only do I drive Uber, I drive it around the University of Arizona. Thank you, sir. What else do I deal with? I've had to stop a man wanting to hit his wife in my car. I've had to carry a guy to his door because he was so drunk he couldn't stand. I've heard girls argue and complain and argue at each other over stuff. I've heard rich, young college students who understand that daddy and mommy are paying for everything. So when they're on their phone with their dad, they have no respect or no honor for all that they're getting. All their mom and dad do is complain when they use Uber too much. I get people who come in that come here for so many different conferences that come from around the world. I've driven people from 49, 50 nations. Believe it or not, Tucson gets a lot of people from other countries. I don't just drive in the day, I drive at night. So I get the crazies. I do. And the way I work it is when I'm in my car by myself, my worship music is going on. But when they're in the car, I put it onto a secular station so they can feel comfortable, but I talk. I don't preach, I just talk. When they open the door, then I'll begin to preach. I will never force God down somebody's throat. It won't be accepted. If we try that with food in the natural, why do we try it in the spiritual? It doesn't work in the natural. If your kids don't like broccoli, they're still not going to like broccoli if you try to force it down. If people have a bitterness toward God and you try to still force God on them, they're not going to like it. So you know what I do? I talk life to them. But I use biblical principles. They don't need to know I'm preaching to them or giving them God's word. I just need to give them biblical principles in a natural way. See, you have to understand, you have to be activated. You don't come just to receive, you come to serve. I don't care if this is your first Sunday here. By the way, welcome. Welcome. I don't care if you've been here for 4 years when the church started. Pastor Henry, Pastor Rosie, can you join me? They're coming somewhere. I'm so glad you're here, Miss Rebecca. Or Pastor John, can you give me a bottle of water? I'm dying. Come up here, sir. The church changed after the book of Acts when there was such a growth. And when you get to Paul and all his teaching, Paul talks about the church. In one of the verses, he says, God gave to some pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. It's a fivefold ministry. Okay? So pastors are very important to the growth of the church. Each of those positions hold a function. Right now in this church, we all know we have the best pastors in the world. Pastor John, Pastor Henry and Pastor Rosie are great shepherds. I really got to see a lot of it this weekend. Pastor Henry loves you. He loves us. Pastor Rosie loves us. So there are pastors. Okay? See, but there's still four more parts of the fivefold ministry. You have your prophets. And the prophet holds the office of the prophet, meaning they're under the leadership of the pastor, but they're the ones who speak prophetically what God has given them for the church. Sometimes pastor will give them the open to speak it. Sometimes it's just between the prophet and the pastor. And they follow and they follow God's leading. You have the office of the teacher. See, pastor is a pastor, but to me, he's a teaching pastor. Isn't he a great teacher?
Right.
He is. He does really well in how he teaches using the scripture. He does a great job. I enjoy listening to him. I've come out with, wow, that was good. But you also need your teacher that is there with the focus on the teachings, making sure the teachings, not pastor's teaching, but the teachings that go across the board are in line with God's word. So the office of the teacher is all about the teaching. See, some of us today, you don't need my preaching. See, what kills churches, see, I'm a very evangelistic, really change that. I'm more of an apostolic preacher. Okay? Meaning I'm about building the church, growing the church, and seeing the church move forward. That's the office of the apostle. Apostle Paul came in and he trained up Timothy. He wrote to the church and talked to the church and dealt with the church's issues so the church can grow. That's the office of the apostle, where he works with the men of God and builds up and trains so that the church can grow. So he's about church growth, church leadership, following God's the rules and the direction of the church, making sure everything's in line. But the teacher is the one who's in charge of who helps with the teaching, making sure all across the board we're being taught in some manner. So in our time today, the teacher's focus is what's happening in children's church, Sunday school, if we had missionettes and Royal Rangers, helping our youth and our children's find, if they are finding curriculum or stuff to follow, they're there to help with the teaching, what's being taught to all ages and all people. So you have the pastor, the prophet, the teacher. You have the evangelist. We all know what an evangelist is, right? See, the evangelist is crucial to the church because the evangelist's heart is to go outside the doors and go reach the lost. The evangelist is also used inside the church to preach those evangelistic services for people to get saved. So that's the Sunday when we say, like we did at men's retreat, everybody bring one person next Sunday. And our focus for that Sunday would be evangelistic. We're lost in on a Sunday so we can introduce them to the church, but more than that, we want them to come so they can hear the gospel of Jesus and get saved. The evangelist is a big part of that. His heart is to evangelize, to go into all the world, to go into the city, to go into the community and bring people in and share the love of Jesus to them and share about the church. Then you have the apostle. I already shared what the apostle is. The apostle is the one who is about the building of the church, the leadership of the church, growing and helping it. See, and I told Pastor this, and I've told him this twice. It's been spoken over my life and my life that we hold an apostolic office, that we hold the office of the apostolic, the building and the growing and the leadership of churches and pastors and leaders. But can I tell you something? I will not walk in that. And hear me, I know I'm that. But until pastor says I can walk in that ministry here, I won't do it. He's my pastor. He's the leader. No position is over another, and no one's over the pastor. He's the shepherd. So it doesn't matter what I think at the moment. What pastor asks of me, I will do. And when he says you can hold the office and you can help us apostolically, then I'll begin to walk in that. But that's between him and God. But you understand what I'm saying? See, so these offices are ordained by the men and women of God. But then it talks, if you have the gift of healing, heal. If you've got the gift of prophecy, prophesy. If you've got the gift of administration, administer. See, now those are gifts that happen out here. That's why we have our open, wow. That's why we have our open space. Y'all were wondering why this was here, huh? Abe and your wife, please come. Pastor John, your wife, please come. Pastor Pat, your wife, please come. Who's our children? They're doing children's, right? Our children are probably doing children. Cheryl? Shirley and your husband, y'all are a couple. Come on. Come and stand right here with me real quick first before you come up, because I need to show this. Pastor has ordained that Pastor John and his wife pastor with him. So in position, up here, they're right here. Pastor Pat and Carrie are on their way. Pastor have ordained Pastor Pat and Carrie to pastor with them, so they're here. Rebecca, I need you and Brandon. Pastor has ordained Abe and his wife right here. They do youth here. Children's church, right here. Come right here. Worship, you guys are over here. Not that you're pushed to the side, but you're over here. Men's ministry, do we have anybody? Rick? Greg? Come on. Come on, sir. Put a smile on that beautiful face, sir. Thank you, sir. Women's ministries? She's here. We got her up here. She gets to live the dual life. Do we have any other ministries in the church that are kind of...
Yeah, we do have a home.
Home visitation?
Home church.
Home? Who's that?
That's Terry.
Terry, come on up. I'm still learning everything.
Greg's wife, Diane, is here. Visitations.
Visitations, Diane?
She's not here.
She's not here? Okay. So far, see what we have, right? Now I'm really going to make, we have John with Abe and Terry who do all that, right? You were going to say something? Okay, you're there. Just stand up if you're a greeter. If you're on the worship team, just stand up. Greeters and worship team. Okay. This is what stops churches from growing. 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. This is where we're at now. I came to bring a good word. We need you. We need you. Because now, if there was 70 people outside still wanting to get in, it would put more on the group. But if we had, if I'm going to say, and I just to show a picture, if you've been coming to this church for 2 months or less, stay sitting down. If you've been coming longer than that, stand up with us. Sister, do you do prayer? Does sister do prayer back there? She's got short hair. Yeah. I've seen her pray. I've heard her come up and pray. Come on up, sis. Oh, yes. Where are you, Ms. Bookkeeper? You are important to us. Come on up, sis. She does the bulletin. Whoever helps in children's church, God, you're standing with us now. Now look at this. If we had 70 more people coming in and all of us were standing because we're actively acting in service on Sundays so that we can reach people and reach the lost, we could fill this place with 70 new people. But then you know what would have to happen? 70 more would have to become active so we can get 70 more in. It's show time. It's your time. Pastor, it's our church's time. We want God to pour out his spirit. Can I tell you something? You're more one than most churches. You guys are so one in heart. More than most churches are. It's easy to see. Y'all just don't show up. You all like each other. Oh, yeah. Seriously. Y'all back each other up. Y'all care for each other. It's easily seen. So the issue of unity and the issue of where two or three are gathered in God's name, he's there in the midst. That's not an issue here. It's easy to feel God's presence here because you all love each other. So let's get past, we need a mighty move of God. Let's just get into God's doing already a mighty move. We just got to keep moving forward. We just got to keep going. And now the rest of y'all that stood up, we got to figure out a way to activate you. We got to get into your house. You got to let us in a little bit more so then we can begin to activate. If you like to sing, go talk to them. I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to be funny, but it's going to be so true. How many watched American Idol? How many of you watched those first few sessions and series or the shows, the first couple of them where they showed the guys who just sing so awful but thought they were amazing? Yeah. You ever watch those? Hey, listen to me. I get it. We like to sing. I won't go to Sister Rebecca and say, I want to sing for you, because she'll say, American Idol's not for you, Pastor Eli. Come on. But I'll be okay with that. Be okay with it. Listen. We will figure out a way to find your spiritual gift, because I want to see us activated. I want to see you activated. And I'm telling you, once that truly begins to happen here, we're going to see more people coming in, because now God will never give us more than we can handle. We can't handle a big group right now because we only have 20% doing it. But when we get more of us doing it, we can handle it. I'm going to just throw it out. I don't know what we're going to do when Brother Abe and his wife are out on maternity leave. Listen, if you're a parent of a teenager, you better be questioning. You better be wondering what's going to happen to youth group on Wednesday nights. Now, here's a little, if you don't bring your kids, you're not going to question it. Sorry, truth. That's to my daughter, but we'll leave that alone. He knows why. But seriously, do we want sister to have to come back right away? Sorry, I would love for you to come back right away, but I want you to love on your baby too. I do. I think they need time for their baby. They need time to learn how to be a young family now. It's just been them two for how long now? 15 years. Their world is gonna change. But seriously, now, how many of us have been married for a while? How many of us understand what they're about ready to walk into? They're going to need time together and time to build and time to grow as being a family. So we know that, so now let's love them with that. And let's do all that we can to help them so that they can come back not just ready, but strengthened, refreshed, restored. I'm telling you, not tired. Fresh words of God. Fresh revelations. Because not only are they coming and being blessed by being in our services, but they're feeling comfortable. Youth group's okay. They can come and hang out, but they don't have to work. They're still over it, so they can come and hang out and watch, but don't have to work it. I'm telling you, that's important. Your youth will be blessed if some gather around them and help them. It's time, church. It's showtime. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we have seen in the natural what you could do spiritually. We've seen how you can activate a small group of people to love on a bigger group of people. But now we're seeing how more people that are active and that are placed into service, man, we can reach outside the doors. I see that apartment complex every day. Every Sunday I come and I see apartment complex, and I'm like, God, we can get most of those families. They're easy. They could just walk across the street. Help us get into that boat. The one straight across, the one to the right of us. God, help us. God, I pray no fear on any person who right now is not actively serving. I pray, God, that we would allow each other to open up our hearts, open up our lives to each other to get to know each other more. Father, I pray anointing over our pastors.
Yes.
That you continue to lead them by the Spirit. That God, that as people will come to Pastor Henry and Sister Rosie, Pastor Pat, Pastor John and their spouses, and will come to say, I feel in my heart to do this, that God, wisdom would be upon our pastorship on how to lead your people. God, we need you more than ever. Holy Spirit, we need you more than ever. Unite our hearts. Keep the vision moving forward. And may the blessings of God continue to be over this house. And we will forever give you all the glory, give you all the praise, and we will forever say, it's been God. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm gonna challenge you now. Okay? For those that aren't doing anything yet, if this stirs your heart that you feel you might have something, let's do it. Let's make it easy on the team, okay? Write it down, write your name down, write what you feel it is, and kind of give a little bit about yourself. So then pastor could just read it over, pray over it, but he doesn't have to worry about a lot of meetings quite yet until they're ready. How's that sound? Okay? And you bring it to them when you're ready. Okay? But when you see this face, I hope you say, oh my God, he's looking at me like I should be doing something, because I probably am. Okay? God bless you all. Thank you for coming to the show. It is showtime. It is our time. God bless you and have a great day today.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.